You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto. We're glad that you are joining us this fine evening as Christmas draws ever closer. Art Factora, my producer, how are you doing, Art?
Yeah, good. I believe the term is looms. It looms.
Oh, it's looming. It is looming.
Yeah.
Have you? How are you doing? Are you ready?
Oh, I'm the December 24th shopper, Christmas Eve shopper.
You said that, but
I
you
got
said
time.
You said last week you committed that this was not going to be the case this year.
I'm not going to lie to you, Steve. I lie to you all the time.
Just what did you just say?
I'm not going to lie to you.
I lie to you all the time.
Yeah. So I'm going to be the Christmas Eve shopper again.
Right now, everybody out there saying exactly what I'm saying. You make no sense, Art Factora. Hey, guess what? The bell got caught by the CRTC. I always like it when the telcos get slapped on the wrist by the CRTC.
And I love it when my old radio company gets slapped on the wrist by the CRTC.
Well, especially with the big merger that just happened, the purchase of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment by Bell and Rogers. We don't understand why they're working together. They shouldn't be their enemies.
They are.
But here, now, so collusion, I worry about that. So Bell got caught saying not releasing sporting events that they had the rights for and not allowing them to anybody but their subscribers. Where other carriers wanted to carry it, they weren't releasing them, and so which is against the spirit of the CRTC agreement, so they got slapped down. So that's always nice to see.
Yeah, well, there's pocket change for them, I'm sure.
And well done, CRTC. Way to hold their feet to the fire. Win a few small ones, and it will make the big ones hurt less. The most interesting poll that I saw this past week was the brands that are likely to be gone by 2015, of the legendary brands, as the world economy is changing. Guess what? This is not an official poll. It's like 50,000 people that they questioned. What do you think the number one brand most likely to be gone by 2015 is?
Oh, geez.
I know it's a tough question.
Weight Watchers.
No.
Okay. I had no idea.
Kodak.
That makes sense.
That's the one that they say. And the other ones don't make as much sense to me. The next one was Netflix, which I know that they're struggling, but I can't understand it because they keep getting new customers hand over fist. And I just think that people that keep getting new customers are going to figure out a way to be in business.
Yeah, well, the thing about Netflix, I'm on it, and I do like it, but I can see that there is a point where I'm going to run out of things I want to watch because they don't have new movies.
Well, that's what they're going to have to get that stuff. But I think that they'll figure that out. The U.S. Postal Service is number three.
That should have been gone 10 years ago.
Yeah, BlackBerry, the RIM. RIM is number four by these people's opinions. That's what the marketplace is seeing. And number five is Sears.
Oh,
that's Sears. Sad. That makes me sad. Up in Canada, those of us that are old enough to remember, it would be Simpson Sears. But yes, Sears.
I don't know that. So.
Hey, we got Paul Demeure coming on the show today. He's going to talk about what's happening with Carrier IQ, plus talk about new mobility stuff. We also have Michael Kozlowski from Good eReader talking about all the eReader book news. That'll be a great way for us to prep and have you more prepared for Christmas, as well as we have multiple guests on from London Drugs talking about cameras and talking about photo gifts. It's gonna be a great show.
You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We're just 2 weeks away from Christmas, so we're going to spend some time talking about a little bit more about Christmas gifts, but that's not the only technology that we want to talk about today. So joining me in studio, we've got Paul Demeure from Rogers, our mobility expert. How are you doing, Paul?
Really good.
Good. And we also have Michael Kozlowski from Good eReader. How are you doing, Michael?
Not too bad.
Yeah, you're happy? You're looking forward to Christmas?
I'm totally stoked.
It's going to be a big eReader Christmas, but we'll get to that in a minute because Paul, what the heck is this story that we've been following? I need you to filter all of the hyperbole out of the Carrier IQ story for me.
Certainly being a big story. This software appears to have been put into a whole bunch of devices out there. And its purpose is to basically understand what users are doing out in the field with their phones, so carriers can optimize the characteristics of their network to take advantage of things they can do and basically tweak the user experience so that they don't have any problems with using their devices and surfing for data and all that stuff.
So ultimately, what it's doing is it's logging what users are doing, so that then, and we do this with websites. If you come to my website, I've got an analytics program on top of my website that every single user that comes, it tracks where they click, how long they stay on any area of the page, and I look at that information. Now, it doesn't tag back to you. I don't know that it was Paul doing that.
No.
But I see what you're clicking on and what you're doing, and then I use that to optimize my website and to build a better experience. I think we could all get down with that. That's cool.
Yes.
What people are having issues with are, A, that this was something that we didn't know was there, and it took a hacker to find it.
Yep.
And B, when the hacker found it, it got really scary because it was logging things like every keystroke that he was making, and it was bypassing all of the security measures that we think are in place as we're talking to our different secure services. So how did that happen?
I guess the software developers decided that they needed to understand what people were doing, so they're basically keeping track of keystrokes and everything else to better understand what's going on with users in the field. Mm. Absolutely scary things, though, when you
it's
think
kind
about
of, it. It's kind of people in a vacuum doing things. Do you sense from looking at the company and all that stuff that there was any nefarious intent here?
No.
It's just, or did they just not really understand what they were getting into?
I think... The problem was that people found out about it the bad way, not the good way. The good way is, here, we're looking at doing this. Can you opt in or opt out? Like, most software allows you to do that, right?
Like the HST.
Yeah, exactly. same idea. So this software was put on a whole bunch of devices. People weren't told about it. And it's doing stuff that you don't know about. And that generally makes people super nervous. And I don't blame them for being nervous.
This won't be the end of this story. There's going to be ramifications. But for Canada, it's not such a big deal.
No. Rogers has not asked for this software to be on any of its devices that we sell, and we don't use it whatsoever. That's our official policy, and we stand by that.
And all of the other Canadian carriers are pretty much
in the same boat based on what I've read. I mean, I have to let them speak for themselves, but based on what the press releases have suggested, no.
And what I will put out is, there is a chance, because where does this get put on? Like, is this something that they could have done with the manufacturer of the phone, and the carrier might not even realize that it was in the firmware already, or they did realize it was there and just didn't enable it? So it could be on phones but not being used. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely, yeah. Because the way firmware is developed, you basically write software that runs the phone. It's just like an operating system like XP or the Mac. And so this software was embedded, it looks like, in some of the firmware that was developed for smartphones that are out there. And I don't think a lot of people knew about it. If you never used it, you just wouldn't be aware of it. We asked for it not to be turned on at all.
Decides to use a phone from a manufacturer,
yep,
they choose the features that are going to be enabled on that phone.
Exactly.
And the features that they choose not to be enabled might be on the phone, but might not. You might just have no access to. In other words, they just aren't. That switch isn't turned on, so it's as if it was never there. But if somebody dug deep enough, they might be able to find the remnants of it there.
Exactly. That's exactly what they possibly could find. And that may exist on certain phones already.
Okay.
The manufacturers may have already put it in their embedded software, but we didn't ask for it to be turned on. So it's just sitting there dormant, basically.
And so we're definitely going to be hearing more about this story as time goes on. But it was, at this point here, hopefully the mobility industry. Do you get a sense that the mobility industry really took notice of the outrage of the consumers at this, and it might be a really nice little wake-up call?
I agree. That's exactly what it is, the wake-up call. Don't be turning on things that monitor what people are doing without letting them know about it. That's just a good thing to do. Tell people, give them the option, say, look, we're going to check things for you to help you, use your phone, make it work better. But let people know that. Don't just turn it on in the background and keep it in the stealth mode. That's going to frustrate and upset people for sure.
Okay.
That's exactly what happened.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to get you to hold on for a second because I'm going to get Paul to show us one piece of hardware, which I know that you're interested in. Your eyes lit up when you saw it as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you were on a couple of weeks ago, Paul, actually a month and a half ago, I guess, you were talking about the LTE network, which is this, what does LTE stand for again? Help me out with this.
The magic letters, long-term evolution.
Long-term evolution, really?
Yes.
I don't think I asked you that last time.
Yeah, that's what it stands for.
That sounds like a bad title for an album, Long-Term Evolution.
It could be an album, sure.
It's kind of what we are. So LTE network is this new super high-speed network that Rogers is rolling out in several, its footprint is increasing, but you've brought the first kind of...
Well, we have a few devices out now, actually five of them. This particular one, for the viewers to get an idea of what I'm holding in my hand, it's the size of two Trident gum packs. That's basically what it looks like. So it's basically about a half an inch thick and 3.5 inches long and maybe 2 inches wide.
Yeah, it's just a little
box.
It looks like a tiny compact camera with a lens on it.
Yeah, exactly. And what's built in is two things. It's got an LTE radio in it, and it's also got a Wi-Fi hotspot built in it.
Okay. And it's a Sierra product.
That's right.
And so it's got both of those built in, and the net result is?
It basically picks up the signal from our LTE network and rebroadcasts it as Wi-Fi. So what that allows you to do is to leverage whatever you own that's Wi-Fi enabled and access our LTE network. So if you have a tablet, which is what I use with my iPad, or a laptop, my Mac, any device that's Wi-Fi enabled can basically talk to that, and it can talk to our LTE network, and you get blazingly fast speeds.
And now, when we say blazingly fast, you aren't kidding.
No, it's really impressive. The best that can do is 100 megabits per second, and our network can do 75, but 12 to 25 is typical. I'm getting 35 megabits at my house. Now, that's not typical. I just happen to be in a really super mega good area, but, 12 to 25 megabits downlink is impressive, and 5 to 10 on the uplink as well.
To put that into perspective, typically from your internet service provider, we're getting what?
Depends on who you're with and what you're paying for, but I only get 5 megabits. I think you and I are in the same plan.
Yeah.
5 megabits down and about 500 kilobits per second up. So this thing is significantly faster than
cable. And those same cable carriers, they consider anything over about 1 megabit to be high-speed internet.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the internet, the light version out east is like 500 kilobits per second. It's like half a megabit, and that's what people are considered, good internet or acceptable internet service.
So this takes it to a whole another level.
So who is the target for this? Am I going to be, is this a product that I would then buy? First of all, how much does it cost?
If you buy it no term, it's $199. And okay. If you buy it with a term, it's $129.
No term, $199. And then the data package for it?
It's $52.93. It's $50 plus $2.93.
So 55 bucks a month for, and that's 10 gigabytes.
10 gigabytes.
So could this be like, I have a small business and three of us work out of a small office? This becomes my internet hub.
You could
for
do that.
A small office.
Absolutely, you could do that.
That kind of makes sense.
It does,
because that's fast. As long as you're not, if you're using data like text messaging, email, if you're using, if you're browsing the web, if you're uploading photos, downloading photos, that kind of stuff, 10 gigabytes is plenty. If you're watching movies, 10 gigabytes is enough. This isn't an entertainment.
You can watch movies, but you just have to be mindful of it. It'll actually tell you how much data you've used as well. It's got a little display on it, so it actually shows you that. But yeah, you're right. It's more for people that aren't going to watch, 24/7 movies. That's not the ideal.
Yeah, it's a communication tool as opposed to entertainment for the most part, unless it's music or something like that. Streaming music might be fine. So this could be, this LTE network and this sort of a device could be a game changer in the urban.
Absolutely.
Business space.
And anybody who's an individual who wants the internet and high-speed internet and they want to use it anywhere they go, they can do that. For business users, exactly that. They can use it with any of the devices. What I like about it is if you have a tablet, you can take that and it makes it an LTE tablet. So we have an LTE tablet, the HTC Jetstream, but if you already own a tablet and you want to get super high speed out of it, you just hook up via Wi-Fi to that device.
Yeah.
You can plug it into the wall because it has a power supply. You can plug it in your car. You can run it on, your 12 volts car. You can use it anywhere and you have a super high speed connection for your tablet.
Talk about tablets. If you're using iPads and you're using iConnect and iMessaging.
Yep.
If you're using FaceTime for video conferencing.
FaceTime's really impressive.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
Do you want one, Michael?
Yeah, I mean,
everybody wants one.
I like the fact that in a small business environment, you don't need a modem, a router, all the Ethernet cables. No. You just need the small little thing, and it takes
plug it in the wall.
Everything.
And if you think about today's kind of hoteling work group environment where you're sitting there and you've got a small work team. You sit down one in the middle of us, in three guys working on a project together. That's just
it's dynamite. It's absolutely dynamite.
I'm lusting after. We got to take a break. We'll talk ebooks. Don't worry, Michael. We'll talk ebooks, but high speed.
This is solid.
This is. I'm in a little bit of geek heaven right now.
Absolutely.
Going to take a quick break. We got Paul DeMare. We got Michael Kozlowski. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Okay, during the break, Steve logged on to Paul's LTE network, and Steve is pretty impressed, as did Michael. Did you log in too?
Not yet. I was watching you.
It's amazing. So before we get into ebooks and other things, what's happening with the network coverage with LTE?
So we started with three areas: Richmond, Burnaby, and Vancouver, and we've expanded it. Basically, for a picture, you can
Ladner,
just think
say
about
Ladner, say Ladner.
Ladner's good. Ladner's good. Tawasin, North Van, West Van, basically the whole Lower Mainland, all the way out to Langley, Aldergrove border, and sort of north. So.
And is BC the only? What about other major centers?
So other major centers include Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal, and we're expanding those areas as well.
And then it'll go into every urban center. This isn't the sort of thing we're going to be able to expect in Williams Lake necessarily.
It'll take a while before we see it there.
Major urban centers.
Yeah. You still have HSPA. It's fully backwards compatible with that. Nothing wrong with HSPA.
Yeah, so you show up there, you can still use it as your hotspot. That's really interesting. And how long does it last on a battery charge?
I've been testing it, and 8, 9, 10 hours seems to be reasonable for it. It says 8 to 12 on the website for it, but yeah, you should be able to get a full day.
And then
out
it just
of it.
Plugs in by USB, so it plugs in.
Yeah, micro USB. You could plug it in the wall and run it off the wall, or you can plug it in. I have a car adapter for it. It just takes a standard micro USB adapter.
Okay, we've been hijacked by this thing, this new
it is magical. I have to say it's magical.
Yeah, well, I'm just watching a video on streaming. I'm using up your whole data plan.
No worries.
But it's going fast. And yeah, as you say, FaceTime. Yeah, that married with the tablets and the iPod touches and stuff like that would be just amazing. But okay, Michael.
Hi.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
Ebooks seem so slow. The speed of reading is so slow compared to the LTE network, but there's lots of news in the front.
Yeah, I mean, there's always new devices hitting the market. There's, Kobo was sold to a Japanese company.
Yes, we haven't had a chance to talk. We're going to talk about it. Before we do, though, there was news on your front. You guys have been expanding the Goody Reader site. You guys have an e-commerce solution that's attached to it, and you've got a couple of new stores opening.
Yeah, so we've been running a store for about 2 years now, and because we write about e-readers all the time, we know the good ones, we know the bad ones, so our store only gets the good stuff that we rate the best reviews on, because obviously we're in a position to gauge what is a good e-reader and what is a subpar one, and
yes,
Lord knows there's a lot of subpar ones out there. So, yeah, our store has been going for about 2 years. It's at www.shoppyreaders.com. And in the last few weeks, we just struck an agreement with Simon Fraser University and today with Vancouver Community College. So you can expect e-readers in the classroom purchasing them directly at the schools.
That's excellent. It's ironic, as my daughter's just home for Christmas, and we were having the conversation saying, do you want an e-reader for Christmas? And she went, no. And then she started thinking about it. She goes, well, some of our books are now available by e-reader and online. And I said, well, you can read those on the e-reader. And she goes, well, maybe. So she's thinking about it. So we'll see after this show. Maybe she might have changed her mind a little bit more that she might want an e-reader. So do you have an e-book, Paul? You've got a Sony, don't you?
Well, I actually use my iPad.
You use your iPad?
For reading, yeah.
See, it sucks as an e-reader.
It's a little bit big, but I just got a BlackBerry Playbook. So we're playing around with that a little bit. And with the Android sort of thing coming up with 2.0, it looks very interesting for e-reading. So I had a demo of that. So I might be down that path because it's a little smaller, a little more convenient, right?
I was just back on a business trip. You're right. I was just back on a business trip, and I hadn't flown for a couple of months. And in the last 2 months, the explosion of e-books and tablets, for that matter, on the airplane and in the airport was staggering.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Just from where I sat on the flight, and it was a long flight. It was 5 hours. I could see, I think, 7 people within my vision that had tablets in and out of their bag, or one gentleman reading the entire flight on a, I believe it was on a BlackBerry. He looked the least comfortable of everybody else. I was working on my iPad for the whole flight. I had a keyboard attached to my iPad, and I was working for a good part of the flight. And there was just tablets and e-book readers all over the place.
2011, it's really exploded, and part of it is just because the cost. Everything has just come down so much because of the accelerated competition. You know, every month there's a new device coming out, and it's hard to, if you're a new company, it's hard to compare against Amazon with the price, or with these $200 tablets now, like the Kobo Vox.
Yes.
It's really hard to market that for $300 and people accept it. prices but, are coming down, more down, people are buying them.
And they're jumping on them. And even RIM is starting to see sales of them.
Well, they had that $199 deal for the 16 gigabyte BlackBerry Playbook, which, you know, they never had a lineup on day one, but they had a lineup when they put it on for $199.
Yeah, to ask HP about putting tablets on for $99 and see where it goes, which they might not be that far from. So in the ebook news, Michael, what's the most exciting last few stories of, like, leading into Christmas? Who's gonna be the winner come Christmas?
I think Amazon will be.
Yeah.
And the reason of that is they just released the Amazon Touch, which is their first touchscreen e-ink based reader. And you get a lot of power. This is the 3G version that you have in your hands now, and it's free, so you don't actually have to pay any monthly data plans or anything like that. Works totally everywhere in Canada. It's a solid device.
So up until I think Amazon, because they've got several products out, there's a little bit of confusion in the marketplace, and I'm saying that because there's a little bit of confusion to Steve.
Yeah.
So I'm having trouble reconciling what's happening with the Kindle
Touch
and the Kindle Fire.
Kindle Fire is, you can think of it as an Android tablet, so you get that full color experience, touchscreen. So if you've ever seen an iPad or any of those other devices, it's much akin to that experience, but in a 7-inch shell.
Yeah, understand that. I get that, and it's the like the Kobo Vox, it's direct competition for that. What I don't understand is services. And you're saying that the Kindle Touch has all of the services in Canada that does in the States, but the Kindle Fire doesn't. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, the Kindle Fire for Canadians is not really relevant at this time just because you can't take advantage of downloading apps from the App Store. You can't download videos, music. You can only buy books, newspapers, and magazines. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Kindle Touch, anything that's available in the store, from books to newspapers, everything is you can get.
Okay. Why?
It's you know, international licensing and publisher agreements, you know.
But it's the same data. You're saying that that some of the data that I can get on the Kindle Touch, I can't get on the Fire?
No.
Why?
Because they only market the Fire to American-based customers at this point. Like, if you go to Amazon.ca, you can't order the Kindle Fire.
Okay.
What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like, you know, you strike agreements with publishers for certain regions or certain countries, and if you want to go outside of that, instead of dealing with HarperCollins USA, you got to deal with HarperCollins Canada.
And which sounds like Netflix, same problem, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Same reason Apple, we had the long wait to get iTunes in Canada as far as getting TV shows, and then we paid a different price and all that sort of stuff. And we still don't get a lot of the streaming music services in Canada.
Like
so
Spotify.
Exactly, and Pandora. So that story is tried and true. Okay, so the Kindle Touch is just out. What's the price point on the Kindle Touch?
You can get it as low as about $99 for the Special Offers Edition.
Now, the Special Offers Edition means that you carry advertising on the screen?
Yeah, they subsidize the cost of the hardware in order to serve you ads. And they're very unobtrusive. They're on home screen and on a screen saver, so when it's in standby mode for a few hours.
Yeah, I've got ads for Steaks right now.
Yeah.
Omaha Steaks running on this one. So is that the way you'd go? Would you get the ad-enhanced version? And how much is the version with no ads?
Yeah, about $159.
So $59, half price, or a third off if you buy the. I'm taking ads. I'm comfortable. I like ads, especially when it's a yummy steak.
Yeah, yes. I was gonna say.
So now, why is this your choice? Why is this gonna win?
Well, I just think because they have all sorts of different price points. They have the Wi-Fi, the 3G, and then they have the special offers version of each one, which lowers the cost by about $25. So they have four different versions of it, depending on how much money you feel comfortable spending on an e-reader. And I think more companies can take a cue from that, because most companies, Kobo Touch, for instance, one model only.
You can get different colors, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas with this,
one color.
Yeah, one color, but it's very flexible with your budget. Yeah.
Now, it doesn't feel as nice as the Kobo. I got to say, I love the plastic that Kobo uses.
The quilted back, yeah.
Yeah, I like the feeling of the Kobo, but in the Kobo, we know it's sold in a lot of major retailers now in Canada. It's, of course, available chapters and online at Indigo. Where's the Kindle Touch being marketed in Canada?
Only through our web store.
So if it's if it has a great Christmas, you have a great Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing with Canada. We almost get short end of the stick with a lot of technology, with tablets, with e-readers, with all, you know, we were talking about Spotify. I mean, we just get the short end of the stick a lot of the times with technology hitting here. It's, you know, like fashion. In Europe, it always hits there first, then eventually comes to North America. It's the same sort of thing. You know, if ever we get it, it's, you know, months and months after its initial release.
Now, some of the other Kindles went into Walmart. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
They have. So is that something that we expect somewhere down the line?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all about, can Walmart coerce Amazon to getting a really sweet deal?
Yeah.
That's really what it comes to.
Well, it's good to know that it's available now through you guys. I do like it. It's
A nice size e-reader.
Yeah, it's very thin, very pocket friendly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm handing it over to Paul.
I like the size of that.
Oh, this is the thing that people that read on the Galaxy, or people that read on the iPad, or even on the BlackBerry Playbook, I don't find them near as comfortable as the Kobo Touch or the Kindle Touch. That's my preferred platform for reading. Is that, what is it, 7 ounces in that range? Am I right?
It weighs next to nothing. Yeah. You could hold it in one hand for hours and not feel any strain.
Whereas with the iPad, you always want to rest it on something. Yeah. And now, fortunately, I've got a belly that's perfect size for resting, but it's not, you still just...
So you shift position once in a while, right?
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk more e-readers. We'll talk more mobility. I'm Steve Dotto. We got Paul DeMera. We got Michael Kozlowski. And this is Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
I just keep playing with this LTE network and keep clicking on new websites, and I'm going to places I don't even want to go to just because they're so fast to go to. Thanks, Paul. You've ruined this.
I know.
Because, fortunately, at home, I do have fairly good internet service, although Michael doesn't. He was going, wait a minute, I've checked my speed. It's not as fast as you guys are getting, and certainly not as fast as what we're getting right now. So,
yeah, I'm harsh jealous.
Harsh jealous. I haven't heard that one before. That's a good term. You're telling me that, now, Apple is as tight-lipped can be about, rumors just haven't been the same in many years on Apple. They just don't let things out. But there are some good rumors out there about iPad 3. Fill me in, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Apple, they keep everything very secret. They're a very secret culture until they have something to officially announce. The big news comes out of their supply chain because most of their supplies are manufactured in China. Mm-hmm. And they have a little bit more loose lips. So yes. Foxconn and all the companies they deal with for all the components, they tend to talk. And so a lot of them are saying that we can expect the iPad 3 to come out around April. They are ramping up all the manufacturing of all the components, all the assembly by about February. So that gives them enough time to have all the inventory and, marketing campaign and everything like that. The big thing is the resolution will almost double from what it is now. So
double the resolution of screen. We're looking at it with 600 by 800 now, roughly.
You're going to go to at least 2,000 by about like 1,200 is really
that'll make the photography and the imaging apps, that'll make a profound difference there.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a good camera, or an XLR or anything like that, you'll really notice it with high resolution pictures, and then hopefully it'll attract developers to actually make sort of a step above HD content because you'll be able to actually get superior resolution now.
If it's an April launch, it'll only be about a 7-month window from iOS 5, so we should probably not expect a major upgrade in software then, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they're really getting behind iCloud, being able to, no matter what iDevice you have, to be able to access it instantly on your other devices, which I think that's really the essence of cloud computing right there.
Simplify the user experience. Keep it simple. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, that really appeals to me. I mean, being a techie, I play with everything, but I find elegance and simplicity.
Yes.
I like being able to buy something or, like the latest Apple commercial where they show people, buying a song and then it's instantly on this, or updating a spreadsheet.
The cloud stuff. Well, it'll be interesting seeing Siri on it, too. That could be something very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Apple's very tight-lipped about Siri. They are limiting it right now just to the latest generation iPhone, the 4S, and they haven't really talked about anything else.
I cannot imagine a new iOS device coming out, other than an iPod, but their flagship product, which is what the iPad has become. This is the iPad is now Apple's flagship product. I believe it's more important than the phone for the next period of time, anyways.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine that not having their best possible technology put in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's an interesting study out that, you know, of course, we've been following the HP story, how HP was considering selling off their computer division and all this sort of stuff. And everybody's saying, well, you know, HP is the largest computer manufacturer in the world. At the end of 2011, if we classify tablets, HP won't be the largest manufacturer of computers anymore, but Apple will have taken that over.
We live in interesting times.
That's ground shaking for when Apple used to struggle along with like a 3% market share.
Yeah.
To the point now where when I do believe that the iPad is a computer that they are now the largest manufacturer of staggering information.
Well, you just heard of HP just open sourced WebOS.
Yeah. Another interesting development, right?
Oh,
yeah.
No, actually, I wasn't aware of that.
They coughed it up, right?
They've
decided what they're doing with it, and they're letting us have it.
Yeah. It'll go the same route as Android, where they'll say any tablet or company wants to license WebOS, no problem. You know, you develop apps, do all that. So they were originally going to scrap it, and they were originally going to spin off the PC division. Then they said, no, we're going to keep it. We're not going to make WebOS devices until 2013 personally, but we're going to spend all of our time, making it as easy as possible to get it into the hands of manufacturers, OEM developers, and things like that.
Well, here we have history repeating itself, but in a different way, because I always thought one of the biggest mistakes Microsoft ever made way back in the day for real nerds is when they shelved OS 2.
Yeah.
And they and at that point there, we were just at the beginning of the Unix and the Linux world, and everybody says, give it to us. Make it open source. And I believe that the whole open source community would have gotten behind OS 2 as opposed to getting behind Linux as they did at the time. And we might see a very different open source
world. It was good code.
It was great code.
Yeah.
And it had more going for it at that point. And so HP is. I'm wondering if they took a look at that and they said this is our opportunity to make a little bit of a difference. And it also has to send for the first time somebody has to have done something that sends a little bit of a shiver down Google's back, because they've had a pretty free run at it with Android for the last little while.
They have, you know, and it's the open source aspect. If you don't have to pay any licensing fees for the operating system, why would you want to use that instead of Symbian or all these, you know, Mego or all these other operating systems?
And Google's been around long enough that they used to be everybody loved them, and now they've got enemies.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting.
Well, then they just don't provide the best end user experience. Android's the most fragmented operating system I've ever seen. I see devices regularly from 1.6 all the way now to ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the screens are different sizes. There's no standard for it.
People want simplicity.
And each of the manufacturers puts their own puts their own interface on top. And so you pick up an iOS device and you know how to use it, regardless which
just
one
like
you pick
that.
Up. You pick up an Android device and you kind of go, how do I do? And you can figure it out. But there's always a how do I do? And as soon as you move from one phone to another, you pick up a buddy's phone and you want to send a text. It takes you a few minutes to figure out how to send a text, whereas it doesn't do that. If you want to send a text from somebody's phone, if you happen to have had a few too many, and you're going to be doing a bunch of drunk texting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But at any rate, what the bottom line is there's in the open source world, the standards are very loose as opposed to the very tightly restrained ones that we see in Apple's world. And that's really all the time that we got for today. Going to ask you guys one last question each. What do you want for Christmas, Michael? As a geek, what's your number one Christmas gift?
I want that new Sony virtual reality headset that they just made. It's $499. It gives you full HD, and it gives you like all the 3D depth perception. So it's like a 3D TV, like virtual reality
headset.
Art
was asking about that the other day.
Yeah.
So that's perfect. You ought to give us the link to that, because Art wants that for Christmas,
I will.
Too.
I'm an audiophile. There's a little box you hook up to your iPod, and basically it lets you take digital audio right out of the drive without modifying it, feed it into a good quality DAC, and magic happens. So I've already got one of the 754 here. So I'm good with that.
You think you have the LTE modem, but it might not make it home with you.
I think
for Christmas, you know what I like? I like the AirPlay devices. I want an AirPlay station.
I'm good with that. I already have that. Absolutely.
Must be nice.
So that's all I'm
good.
Going with.
It's all good.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We got Paul DeMera from Rogers. We got Michael Kozlowski, Goody Reader. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for your time, guys.
No worries.
You're welcome.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Chris Miller is here for App of the Week, and what do you got this week, Chris?
Well, this week I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to go the app for the Onion News Network.
Oh, I have the Onion News Network
app. I love the Onion News Network.
Yeah, it's news that's not true.
Not even remotely true, but hilarious.
My favorite headline, well-produced.
Oh, incredibly well-produced. My favorite headline, of course, being in a new study found depression hits losers hardest. I think that was probably the one that made me laugh for about a day and a half. And the app is really, really good. You can read all of the articles. You can check out all the headlines and see all of the most recent videos and podcasts that they've put out. And just have a good chuckle while you're riding the SkyTrain into work.
Yeah, the Onion is spectacular. You've got me opening it up as well right now. You know, while you're on, you know, if you're into this kind of humor stuff, then you should really
absurdist humor. It's if you dig absurdist humor.
Yes,
and it can be a bit blue sometimes. So be aware.
Oh yes,
but
yes.
It's not
for child content. Well, you know what? I'm going to change my choice in because I'm going to follow the theme because you have the Onion. I'm just trying to find it right here. I'm taking a look at my apps, and it's called Failblog. I think it's called just Failblog.
Failblog. I'm aware of it.
And it's the app for Failblog. If you haven't read Failblog, it's people that have taken pictures of things that just fail. They're just really bad choices people have made, or bad design decisions, or bad signage that they've put forward. And it's one of the ones that when I first loaded this on, I came home and Shan was reading it, and there was tears streaming down her cheeks. It's not quite as funny. It's not quite as funny as the
Onion News Network.
Well, the Onion News or the autocorrect. Damn you, autocorrect, which might be the funniest thing online, but it's right up there. It's called I forgot the name of it.
Failblog?
Failblog. It's Failblog.
You lived it as opposed to discussing it.
But good choice on the Onion. Good choice on the Onion.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MacStation. You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me in studio now is the Photo Lab production manager, Nikki Castengay from London Drugs. And we've asked Nikki to come in because there is about 6 hours of shopping left before Christmas if you want some really cool gifts. So you guys make a whole bunch of really cool photo gifts. And that I can remember maybe 6 or 7 years ago we started showing like mugs that people were putting their faces on. But that's expanded so far now.
Absolutely. We do aprons. We do ornaments. We do child-sized T-shirts. We do sweatshirts. You name it, we're getting close to putting things on it.
You put photos on. Now, and there is a time sensitivity to this. So for some of these things, it takes, about 10 days, I guess, for you to fulfill production and to make sure that you can get into people's hands in time. So as of midnight tonight is the cutoff for a lot of the coolest online.
Absolutely. December 14th is the cutoff.
Okay. So tell me about some of these things, though, because even if you don't do it for this year, for next year, or for birthday gifts, or for other types of gifts, these ornaments, these are new.
They are. We've only been doing the ornaments. This is the second year we're doing it, and we've actually added a few. We have some oval ones. We have heart-shaped ones. We have Christmas tree. We have stars. Nice. We have bells.
And so, like, the Christmas ones obviously are for Christmas time, but the heart, that's a gift you can give year-round.
Absolutely. Even the star is something you can give year-round.
And the photo quality is pretty good. So what's the process people go through in order to order these and get these done? First of all, picking a good picture, number
one. Absolutely. Pick a good picture. Pick a picture where there's a little bit of background so that we can actually crop in to make sure that it fits properly on whichever ornament you've chosen.
Okay.
Go to londondrugs.com/photolab and let us know where you've saved your images to, and we'll walk you through it. We actually even show you a small way of being able to crop into it so that we do it square, even though most of the ornaments do have shapes, but at least that'll give us a little bit more room.
And cropping is important as far as specific. What about the resolution of the photos? You want fairly high resolution photos for these?
You always do. For all of our photo gifts, we print them at 200 DPI as compared to our photos, which we actually print at 360 DPI.
Okay.
So the rule of thumb is if you're looking at something that's going to be 4 inches by 4 inches, just multiply it by 200. So you're looking at 800 by 800.
Okay, as far as the resolution goes. Now, you've added a new feature adding the social networking component to LondonDrugs.com. Tell me about that.
Well, we just launched it last week. It's the exact same website, LondonDrugs.com/PhotoLab. And what it is when we ask you where have you saved your images to, we give you the option for Facebook, for Flickr, for Google+, on your computer.
That's excellent. So if I've stored... Quite often, I can remember where they are on Facebook, but I don't necessarily know where the photos are in my directories on my computer.
It's very common.
Your favorite pictures that you've stored on Facebook. Now, this is just for your pictures, or if I have a friend that has a picture that I want to make an item with, does it work for that?
Right now, it is only the pictures in your albums. It is not pictures that you are tagged in.
Which probably makes sense as far as controlling the rights and making sure that the proper things are being printed.
Absolutely. We are looking into more ways of being able to access the pictures, but right now, these are the pictures that you have basically said belong to me.
So the mugs, how much do these things cost?
Our ornaments start at $6.99.
Well, so it's not that bad.
Our mugs go anywhere from $11.99 and up, and we have a lot of different kinds of mugs.
That's a very sad-sized mug. You have bigger mugs.
We have bigger mugs. That's our 11-ounce.
Mug. Yeah.
We have a 15-ounce. Yep, we have a 15-ounce mug. We also have two size of latte mugs.
Okay.
Which is also, I believe, the 15 and the 17. One's shorter and...
Fatter.
Yeah. One's tall and slimmer.
Yeah, I like the short and fat. I don't know why. It's a thing I like. Okay, so now... These porcelain or ceramic gifts are one thing. What's happening with photo books? Because those little coffee table books are becoming increasingly popular.
Oh, it's so crazy this time of year. We have everything from soft cover photo books that start at $9.99 all the way up to the 12x12 hardcover that are $49.99. And again, the cutoff date for that is December 14th.
Midnight tonight. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But we do have an in-store option that we've just come up with in the last couple of weeks. It's called our Express Book. And what it is you can pick between 20 and 40 images.
Okay.
And you tell us what order you want it in. But it gives you, what we do is we actually put it on with a white background. So it's amazing. It's photographic quality. It's available at every single location. Some stores will be able to do it same day. If they can't do it same day, it'll be next day service.
Nikki's blushing like crazy because she didn't turn off her phone and she has the wildest ringtone.
It's my work phone so that I hear it.
That was like Vegas going off in your pocket, Nikki.
It really was. It makes me happy.
It made me happy, too. Especially since this photo book is nice, though. You kept on going like an absolute trooper. So this is much more like a traditional photo album where you've got one print per page.
Absolutely.
But it's integrated. The page is full bleed right to the edge of the page.
Just so a little bit of a white border.
In. Yeah. And it's beautiful. So now, I often thought about the amount of attention that people, the amount of patience they should have in preparing their photo book. How long do you think it takes to put together a good photo book?
Now, it depends on what kind of photo book you're doing. If you go on a trip, for example, to Las Vegas, and you have 100 pictures that you really like, we actually have a functionality in our software, our Home Edition software, that you can download from our website, where as long as you have the pictures all saved in one folder, it will build the book for you.
And then you can go through and you can adjust them and edit them and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Now, what if you're building a family album, if you're doing, and you've got pictures from generations and you've got pictures all over the place? That takes a little bit more thought, doesn't it?
It really does. We do recommend that ultimately you put everything together into one folder just because it's much easier for you in the long run, and that way the software isn't trying to look to where you've moved your images to.
And it's your job to proofread this stuff.
If you add any
text or anything like that, because you guys aren't going to catch it. You've got no editors looking at the book before it's being printed. Really.
We don't. Occasionally we will see something that's a little bit more obvious, but at this time of year, we're so busy. We're so concerned with making sure we're color correcting your images properly, the text doesn't always get reread.
And you just said something there. So the photos that I put in, and if I put them through my own typical, you know, iPhoto or filters, it's done some color correction. But you do more, you go beyond that as far as correcting and evening out the photos before you print them?
Every single image.
Every single image. Now you do it, so you see it. Does every image get changed?
Every image, I would say if you're given 10 images, at least 8 of them are adjusted, whether it's density, whether it's contrast, whether it's color. We will try to do something just to make it that much better.
And remember, often when you're adjusting your photos yourself off your camera for your screen, it's being adjusted for screen resolution for what you're seeing on the screen and not for print. So there's slightly different parameters that you're putting it through.
One of the questions we always ask customers is, you may think that your computer monitor is balanced, but what's it balanced to? Our computer monitors are balanced to what the end product is on our printers. So we actually do balance every single monitor that we use in the lab.
Mm. Once you get into printing out your photos this way, those of us that have tens of thousands of photos now on our computer, I think sometimes we lose the joy of the photos because there's so many that we don't just sit there and ever just look through them. Putting some of your most precious photos into an album in a book like this, there still really is a visceral reaction that we get.
Oh, absolutely.
To
absolutely. Yeah. We actually have another option. It's called a proof book, and you can choose how many images you've got per page, but it's a really good way to index your images as well. So if you have media cards that have thousands of images on it, you can have a proof book sitting with it. So it's a quick glance through rather than having to upload your images.
Files.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So for all more information on any of this, londondrugs.com/PhotoLab. PhotoLab is the place to go. Nikki, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Now, I know with Christmas drawing near that everybody's mind is more or less on Christmas gifts, but give a thought to your mortgage if you have a moment to give a thought. And if you're not sure what your mortgage rate is or where you stand with your mortgage, why not have it reviewed? And I got just the guy to review it. Bill Macklem, Billy Mack Mortgages, Billy Mack with an I, BillyMack.com. That's who I trust for my mortgages. And the whole idea behind having a mortgage broker is he goes out and he gets you the best mortgage possible, regardless who the lender is. So if you're not sure, which I know many of you aren't, why not just have a look at it. Make sure that you're in the best possible situation, especially when it comes time to pay off all the Christmas bills, which will just pile up unbelievably. Billy Mack with an I.
MacTech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Chris Miller from MacStation is in to talk about all things Mac-related. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm well, Steve. How's
good.
Yourself?
Good. Are all your shopping done for Christmas?
God, no. Not even started.
Good heavens.
Well, in my family, we make a joke that we should just trade Visa bills and make it easier on everybody.
Oh, yeah. Put them all in the center and then see which way
I like it. I like it.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, well, it's fun.
What you got for me in the world of Mac this week?
I have a neat little app that is on the App Store. You could just download it independently if you're on a little bit older machine, called Cloud. Cloud app. That's all it is.
Cloud.
And what it is
without the I.
Without the I. No eyes can be seen.
Okay.
Unless you're misspelling it. But what it does is it allows, with a series of hotkeys, you can make it any command, F3, whatever you feel like. It instantaneously will take a screenshot of whatever you're doing on your screen and immediately upload it to a cloud and give you a link. So you can then take that link and pop it into Twitter, pop it into Facebook, send it to a friend. So if you're ever having a problem with your machine or you're showing off what you're working on and don't want a quick save, you can just go ba-dum-bum and send it off. I find it incredibly helpful if, A, you're ever having a trouble with your machine and just need to send it to somebody else, or, B, just need to send a file or an image or a document right now to somebody else across the net.
But it's sending a screenshot of it. So
as its primary function.
That's the thing. Okay. So it just captures a quick screenshot and it stores it somewhere on the cloud and it gives you a web URL so that you can link to it.
Yeah, you can hop it into Twitter or you can email it to somebody.
So if you're talking about to somebody and you're saying, hey, what do you think of this layout for the web page? Instead of screen sharing with your person, if you're say in Skype, you can just hit this button, send them the link, and then they click on the link and they can see it themselves.
It's that easy. It for people who are into media, doing a lot of media and constantly sharing ideas back and forth, let's say if a group of people are working on the same design or layout or photography or wedding plan or anything or architecture design or laying out your new basement, you can just boom, boom, and you're off.
Okay. And I can see that. But it's a narrow focus for this. And it's free?
It's free.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's called Cloud.
Cloud.
And then you have to sign up for an account, obviously, and then...
Yeah, you sign up for a little account, and then, I mean, it deletes the photos after a couple weeks. Uh-huh. It's not meant to be a permanent storage solution. It's just a real quick
Is there any advertising or anything on the
Not at all. Really? I just sort of ran into it from a friend of mine who was using it, and ever since doing it, being as I do a little bit of design, or I'm working on a show, or doing one of 100 things, the uses that I've found for it are surprising, which is why it's still on my machine now.
Okay, Cloud. Chris Miller works at MacStation. If you need any Mac-related stuff, they're the people that you should stop in and see. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation. Who said business and pleasure don't mix?
Joining me online now from his office, just down the street from us, but a busy man, is Frank Tent from London Drugs. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm great. Great, Steve. Nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you. Now, Frank is one of my go-to guys in the photo world because he knows more about cameras than almost any living person, although he won't admit it himself. It's true. You can look it up. It's in Wikipedia. I read it somewhere, Frank. Did you know that? Now, I like these new format cameras. Now, what are they calling them? There's the Pentax Q is the one that I'm looking at right now. But what are you calling this hybrid camera?
Well, it's the category of cameras is sort of in between the small digital point-and-shoot compacts that you're used to seeing around for the last several years and the larger full-size digital SLR cameras. It's right in the middle. They're a smaller category of camera, small-size camera. But they still take interchangeable lenses and provide similar image output quality that you'd used to be getting from a DSLR. You'll see a variety of names used, some people calling them mirrorless, but we're calling them compact system cameras because they do take a range of interchangeable lenses and other accessories, and they really are a little system unto themselves.
So they take the interchangeable lenses from the DSLR world, but they also don't have the mirror in them, which DSLRs have, which is where the image is reflected up onto the receptor. Instead, the lens focuses the image directly on a receiver. So they're much more like our point-and-shoot cameras from that perspective.
Yeah, that's correct, Steve. The light passes through the lens and strikes the image sensor right behind the lens. Just to correct one thing, though, while they do take interchangeable lenses, not all of them accept all the lenses that you put on your full-size DSLR.
Okay.
Some of them will take those lenses with adapters. In the case of the Pentax Q, it's a really tiny lens mount, and they've got a new line of lenses called that they refer to as the Q-mount lenses, but they are sharp as a tack from what we've seen.
And that's the thing about this one, is it is tiny and cute. I mean, it's a camera you just kind of want to cuddle with.
Yeah, it's about the size of a credit card, in actual fact, and with one of the lenses on, it can slip right in your shirt pocket.
That's amazing. And it's 12 megapixels, which is, the megapixel count almost is not what's important. It's the fact is, they have all of the other aspects of super high quality photos, the dynamic range of the lenses, the types of lenses you can have, how much information is being captured, and the depth of the information being captured makes these far beyond what we're getting with a point and shoot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Steve. And, of course, don't forget the full HD movie recording, 1920
oh, yeah.
by 1080, at a full frame rate of 30 frames a second. It's nice extended movie clips, and along with the high dynamic range that you get with these cameras, it's just a phenomenal camera. We've been incredibly surprised. We generated some prints here in the office that were 18 by 24 inches, and all of us who've been in the camera side for many, many years, and we get kind of spoiled with the quality. We looked at these, and we just couldn't believe it. Beautiful little magnesium alloy body. It's as soon as you pick it up, it just feels, you know, you just can feel the quality.
It harkens back to an earlier day. The body itself feels like, you know, super high-end 1950s design.
Yeah, absolutely. It has a bit of a retro look to it.
Yeah.
It's a cute little camera.
So, and now the price range on these cameras is between about $600 and $800, typically speaking, for the starter
kits?
With the
lens, it comes with the kit. We have it with what they call an 8mm standard lens. It's about the same as about a 40mm lens in 35mm mode, if that resonates with some people. And through Christmas, that package is $699.
Okay, and the reason that I'm bringing this up is if anybody's listening and thinking about getting gifts for Steve, this is one that I think is a great idea for Steve. And I don't know if I'm typical, but I'm a guy that doesn't really want a DSLR, but I love the quality. I think as the idea of being a portable camera that you can really take phenomenal images with, this is kind of the next step that we've been waiting for. Because we've seen a very slow evolution in the digital camera world where the point and shoots have evolved very nicely. The DSLRs have evolved very nicely. But to find something that hits the middle ground between the two, that's what's new and exciting about this particular form factor.
Yeah, and it gives you the opportunity to really never be caught without a camera. You know, these days a lot of people, don't feel like carrying a big camera around with them, and especially if you're just going out for a quick dinner or a weekend event or business travel. You know, you don't really need to lug a big bag around. This will fit in any briefcase or pocket of your jacket or shirt. It's a great little form factor.
And let's not be mistaken. A lot of us now have replaced our camera with our iPhone or with our phone, and they take great pictures. But you, when you say they take great pictures, you can't compare what they do to what this camera can do.
Not when you see an 18 by 24 print. It's it'll knock your socks off.
Yeah, very much so. So you can check out the London Drug site for the Pentax Q. There are others. All of the other manufacturers are making cameras along this line, but the Pentax Q is kind of special because it's the smallest, so it's the most special of the lot. Right, Frank?
Absolutely. It's the smallest and lightest.
There you go. That's Frank Tent from London Drugs. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
I can't believe we burned through an hour of airtime just like that, but it is time for us to bid you adieu, as they say in France.
Is it France?
Well, it's not actually adieu because that would mean, I think, tomorrow. Am I right? No. My French is weak. It's goodbye. Au revoir.
Adios in Mexico.
Yeah. Sayonara.
Japan.
Here we go. If you want any information on any of the stuff we covered on the show, be sure to drop by dottotech.com, and there you'll see links to all of the things we talked about and lots of things that we talked about on the show that are of great interest, including all, of course, the ebook readers and that cool LTE modem. I definitely want one of those. I can't decide whether I want more the camera or the modem.
I think Paul's still in the parking lot, maybe, so if we play our cards right, we might be able to.
Maybe I want both. Maybe I want both. Okay. Art, thanks. Hey, why don't you take the rest of the evening off and go shopping?
That's a great idea.
Christmas shopping a week early. It would be just, it would change your life.
Can I use the Dottotech corporate card?
You can use the Dottotech corporate card. That's right. I'll give you the password later.
Perfect.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week right here on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.